true. And I can just testify, just with my illustrations, for instance, this year, I'm a mum of three kids, and the oldest, it just turned six, so all of them are still quite young, and they require a lot of my attention. And I've got this thing this year, 5 minutes illustration, literally 5 minutes every day, I just draw. And I decided I want to do animals because the kids and I do animal studies. And literally everyone that I've done, I've just picked it up and, you know, illustrated in less than 5 minutes, and it's been exactly how I wanted it. And for me, that's a massive testimony just of the freedom that God has released over my life. And I really give him all the glory. Now, as I mentioned, just the word that I feel I want to share with you today is my journey through 2013. And I really trust. It was awesome having so many testimonies this morning. And the other day, I just came across the root meaning of testimony again. And the base word basically says, as I come and I bring my testimony, it actually gives authority for it to happen again in this place where I'm speaking it. And it's so incredible. For instance, everything that we've testified about this morning, we gave authority and just we spoke a declaration to say that this will actually happen again. And I really trust for each one of you just to have such expectation. My testimony can encourage you. It can bless you perhaps. But it's my testimony. At the end of the day, it's the word of the Lord that is that thing that brings the change. And that's the thing that carries life. And I trust that everyone, as Sally prayed, each one of your hearts will be open to receive that one word from the Lord today that you need for that specific situation. And I know that I know that I know that he is faithful and that his word will come to pass. And I have such an expectation just to come back and to hear more testimonies of what the Lord has done in your life. Now, I don't know, for those of you that's been to my home, or let me just give some context for you that's not been around. We've got quite a nice garden for London standards. And when we first arrived, in the back corner to the right, there was a little glass greenhouse. Now, when the kids were small, you know, you look for things to do with them. And I just started pottering around with some seeds and I would, you know, plant some stuff. And we really, you know, it was quite a lot of fun. And then my neighbor, our garden borders to his, we started chatting, and then he just asked me, but am I going to use more of my garden just to create like a vegetable patch for us because the kids are so into it? And I'm like, no, you know, this little greenhouse that I have, that's fantastic, but that's it, that's the space. I'm not going to take any more of my garden space because if the kids grow older, you know, they just need roaming space. And so my size, I'm going to keep it the way it is. And then he just looked at me and he's like, oh, well, he's got like half of his garden that I can use if I want. And I'm like, what? You know, and his size that he basically gave me access to, it's basically bigger than my current garden. So it's just, you know, so I had to, you know, stay calm, breathe, say, yes, that sounds really like a good idea. You know, the British way, not like, yes, you know, let's do this. And so we agreed. And he said, that's fine. He'll prepare the space for me. And he went about his way. He basically created a gate in the fence. So I have direct access from my garden into this space that I can use. And I was just amazed just by his generosity. And I just started, I grew up on a farm. Kids, it's the same. They don't. I always say I hope there's a finishing school in England that will take girls for two rounds, because I think they're so full of life they might need two rounds. But they don't have to come and first formally ask my permission to be in my presence or to be in our home. They welcome there. They belong there. So that just, I understood, just as a daughter of God, I belong in His house and I can just come as I am. And they are very different, how they look and their personalities. And that's irrelevant. They are my children. And therefore, all of them have exactly that same right to enter in. And then the second thing is just on the practical side. You know, when they were younger, I could deceive myself and, you know, get away with things, doing it how it's actually not supposed to be done, you know. And they don't know any better. Well, that's what you tell yourself, you know, your conscience. But the older they get, they actually start questioning you, like, Mommy, but why do you do this? Or, you know, but you say one thing and do another thing. Or like, why, you know, for instance, I would get them to memorize scripture, or I was like, oh, you know, how can I just help my kids to just teach them? And then, for instance, we looked at my mouth will declare your praise, Lord. So every time they would speak rudely to each other or like shout, or I would shout, I would just say, but listen, let's just stop. Are we actually using our mouths now like we should? And I really became aware, I cannot, my walk and my talk must be the same thing. And I trust for this year that it would be the same for you. And I'm going to look at just my experience in my garden and the revelation that I got there, and I trust you'll be impacted. Now, as I mentioned, my neighbor gave me permission to use his garden. He made the way. So the only thing that I actually had to do is to pitch, to open the gate and to go in. Listen, and my motivation initially wasn't, you know, to go all organic and grow vegetables. It was just like, more space. I'm just entering in because there's actually just more space. Or I can hide here, you know, for like a few seconds or whatever. But I just went there. I was so excited just about this extra space. And I would go daily. And it, you know, it was, we have a good arrangement or a good agreement. But the fact is, he can, at any time, he can actually change his mind and just say, okay, great, that's it now, I'm removing the gate. So for me, there's such an understanding of this is a gift from him, so I am going to make, you know, I'm going to make the most of this. And in the same way, I just, okay, obviously God is different in that way, he's not going to take it away. That's the awesomeness of God. It's a free gift that we can daily enter into his presence and have relationship with him. And I really want to encourage you, you know, to daily, to enter in with him, you will be blessed. Now, who of you are in finance here? Or knows a bit of finance? Now, if you think of investment, you know, usually people would tell you, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket, you know, or have a good range of things that you invest in, or you know, be wise with your investments. And this whole year, I just sense that's great and everything if you think of finance, but if we're thinking of our life in an eternal sense, everything must actually be in one basket. My investment starts with my day, like, Lord, here I am, and I surrender myself completely unto you and have your way. And that's the place where he wants us to operate from. Truly just surrendering completely unto him daily. And it's incredible. Through this relationship, we grow in our understanding, first of all, of his heart, not just for us, but for the lost and for the people around us, and the heart for his kingdom. And he says, as we walk with him, we will actually walk effectively in the things that he's called each one of us to walk in. And how many people ask yourself, often a cry of your heart is, Lord, what must I walk in? You know, what is your will for my life? I truly believe as we are faithful in entering in and just for the sake of having relationship with our Heavenly Father, we'll grow in an understanding of his heart, and we'll also become more aware just of being sensitive of the Holy Spirit and understanding what he is actually directing us to walk in daily. And I am so thankful for that. Let's look at the word. In Hebrews 4, verse 11 to 16, you can write it down if you want. It says, let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience. For the word of God speaks, is alive, and it's full of power. And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight. Let us therefore fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy in a good time for every need. That just, my mind cannot understand or calculate that there's actually provision for us in every need through Christ, you know, as we live with him, as we walk in them, you know, through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. In everything that we will be faced, there is a sufficient supply of what we need in Christ. I actually can't calculate it. It's just so amazing. Now, I want you to look at verse 13. It says, and not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight. I just felt when I was just preparing, as some of us here, you actually feel, God doesn't know me. He doesn't know about my situation. He doesn't love me. I don't have a place in the kingdom. He's given up on me. And I want to tell you today, that is a lie. That is not from the Lord. And maybe I can't relate to your situation or the people around you, but if you look at verse 13 of Hebrews 4, it says, and not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight. Okay? And often, if I have that misconception that tells me, but, you know, I'm not welcome, guess what? I stop entering in. And then I feel, nobody loves me. But it's because you like actually isolating yourself without you even realize that. And that what you crave, you actually just, you know, going in the wrong direction by, you know, and it's your own doing. Where I just learned through last year, as I said, initially my motivation wasn't, oh, Lord, I want to meet with you. I want to have this deep revelation. But as I entered in daily, I actually realized stuff that was just clouding my thinking or that was filling my head, I would just realize, you know, it's lifted, or of something that I just couldn't grasp, I would just realize it. I have understanding about this, and that actually led me to understand, but Holy Spirit, you are here. Every time that I actually enter in, whether I realized it or not, or whether it was my motivation to meet with you, you are here. And therefore I painted this little wooden sign. So at the gate, as you open it up, it sits here. You can't miss it. And I love it. People, everyone that comes here, they're like, oh, what does this mean? Now it says, soli del gloria, all glory to God. And I just said, you know what? Every time I enter in, whether I'm going to just sit or whether I'm going to actively plant some veggies or whatever, I just acknowledge, Lord, thank you that you are who you are. And thank you that you're here. And thank you that you have such a desire for relationship. Boop, and I'll go in. And I'll just carry on with whatever I've been doing. And I just realized just the faithfulness of the Lord, and how he comes and he gives you that release where you need it, or that understanding. And therefore, I would just start declaring to him, thank you that you are faithful and that you are trustworthy. And I just declare now, I've got an expectation to meet with you. Even though I'm going about with, you know, the things that I'm keeping myself busy in there. And for me as a mum, for instance, all of you would be able to relate. We go through different seasons in our lives. And I remember it happened for me, from being a student to becoming a married woman to becoming a mother. Every time, as you enter into a new season, your time, whatever is important, changes. You know, so where I used to be a night owl and would just do what I want, when I want. I mean, when I married, I couldn't really carry on with that. That was a bit of a, you know, I had to discipline myself to get into that line. But it was fine, you know, you understood that was what was needed. But I realized I started registering frustration, for instance, with quiet time. I mean, when you're on your own, you can just have it the whole day if you want. You know, and now I've got this husband, and when he comes home, he just wants all of my attention. I'm like, no, man, you know, I want my quiet time or whatever. Or then you have kids. Ach man, and then by the time all of them are sorted, you just, whether you're still in your clothes or not, or in your, you know, in your day where you just fall over and sleep, you know. No, you, sometimes you don't even brush your teeth. I know it's terrible, but in any case, you'll see one day. No, and you know, there's just like, it became this thing, you know, quiet time, it's not happening. And then the Holy Spirit actually just convicted me the one day. He said, you know what, you spend hours doing the what now in my mother, I'm wearing my mom's hat now. You know, you hours there cleaning after them, you know, and folding clothes or doing laundry or doing the dishes. In a sense, I want to say you don't need brain power for that, you know. So it's not as if I have to concentrate hard to fold a shirt. So in that time, just say, Lord, I'm busy with my hands with something, but here I am, and just come and speak to me. You know, and I just had such understanding of, you know what, it became this thing to me that, oh, I don't have quiet time anymore. But meanwhile, I just missed the fact that I should just enter into the presence of the Lord in a new way, in the context that I'm finding myself. And I want to encourage you, if there's anything where you just experience that blockage, and I mean, you don't have to think hard, sometimes you just know there's this one thing, you know, where there's just resistance. I want to encourage you, just step back from your perspective and just trust the Holy Spirit to show you, just approach me like this, my child, you know, and he's going to meet you there. Now, the one thing that I must say about this little secret garden, I realized it's an uninterrupted space. When I'm there, I usually work looking back to my own house. So I actually see nothing other than plants and just the hedges and greenery around me in summertime now. And I realized this is the key. It's a space where I enter in daily and there's no distraction. There's not like three children, you know, trying to all scream something at me at the same time, or a husband or a job or anything that's quite, you know, that's wanting my attention. It's an uninterrupted space, and I want to encourage you, it is essential that you just trust for wisdom. Holy Spirit, what is my uninterrupted space? Where is it where I can enter in with you, and actually my focus is solely on you? And I think in our day and age, it's a skill that we have to learn ourselves again, to actually concentrate on one thing for longer than 5 minutes, because yes, my one screen, yes, my other screen, you know, everything is going like at gazillion minute, you know, seconds per, everything is happening so fast, and we lose the ability to focus on one thing. And I want to encourage you in this year, get that uninterrupted space, whether it's just on your sofa when your spouse has left or when your housemates have left, and just saying, Lord, this is my time with you now. Okay, so I want to encourage you to do that. Now, if I look back when I started realizing, oh, wow, but I'm actually meeting with the Lord here as I'm entering into this uninterrupted space, nothing changed in the sense of I still have my husband and my three kids and all the washing that I have to do. But there was a radical change in how I actually experienced life. I remember, oh my word, things can go down a spiral very quick. We don't even have to try, you know, and then the wheels come off. I remember I was at a stage where I would just do the head count. Yes, there's still three. Okay, go to bed now. I'm going to try and sleep, you know. And that's not how you live, but that is how I lived, you know. You would just, yes, it's just like, okay, everybody's still in the house. And I've got, yes, man, the Lord, there's grace, because I was extremely ill when I was pregnant. I was literally throwing up the whole time, the whole 9 months with all three kids, you know. So I would reach that point in the evening. So I would just think, yes, man, I'm just going to sleep now because I'm just trying to get myself out of this misery. And then the one day I can remember, my oldest asked me, Mommy, you know, they're out of jail cards when they don't want to go to bed. They're like, Mommy, can I just go and have a drink of water downstairs? And I'm like, yes, just go and come back. And I actually fell asleep. So I woke up, looking at my watch, seeing, oh, shucks, it's like half an hour later, hearing my husband roaring outside, what are you doing outside in the dark? So she went outside to the front garden, sitting there very excited, waiting for her dad. And I'm like, oh, my God, you know, your heart jumps out of your chest at that stage, just off shock. But I don't know why I told you that now, but let's focus. basically, oh yes, you know, life just, life happens. And if you don't purposefully enter in and make a point and make a priority to enter in and to surrender yourself daily unto the Lord, guess what? A year's going to pass and you look back and you feel as if a train has hit you. And even though my, as I said, my circumstances didn't change, but the way my perspective changed, I could actually see God in the chaos around me, you know. I could actually experience His peace. The way that I responded towards my kids changed, where I would be this, like, you know, mummy that lost it on the one side, and where you could just have that perspective and, like, breathe and remember I'm actually the adult when I actually started my day with God. You know, and it's crucial, you know, it's really crucial, and none of us are exempt of this, whether you married, unmarried, a male, female, a high top executive, or without work, it's irrelevant. All of us, our life, our value, it is what we have in Christ. The rest, I kept hearing over and over, we entered into this world with nothing. We are, you know, we will leave it with nothing. So coming back to the investment, where do we invest? What actually keeps you awake at night? What do you think of and what worries you? You know, and just ask the Holy Spirit, is it actually worth it to lose sleep about the things that I'm worrying about? Because in my case, it wasn't. It would be, oh, if I can only have more space or whatever. It's like, no. If I can only understand more of You, Lord, and have more of You in my life because You are my life. Okay, so I want you to think and actually write down if there's something that's just constantly in your mind that's just distracting you or like weighing you down. Write it down now. I always say it's not a problem if, for instance, if you fear something. Great, you fear that something, but it's what you do with that fear that determines the outcome. Okay, and that is crucial. It's not, you don't have to be ashamed about what you're thinking. It's what we do with that thought. Do we actually take it captive and bring it under the submission of Christ? Or do I actually give it free rein? And what we agree with, we empower. That's crucial. What we agree with, we empower. And I want to encourage you, what the Lord showed me as I was just pottering around in my garden. The things that I realized, for instance, that I feared, He said, listen, what stands at the end of the day? What stands into eternity? It's My word. It's the word of the Lord. So I want to encourage you, for instance, if you have a fear of lack, start studying the word and look for verses where God shows you He is your provider, where He comes and He gives you that counter, where He actually gives you the truth. And focus on that and read it over and over and ask Him, Holy Spirit, give me the wisdom to understand this. And from that place, we'll have that lasting, you know, the penny will drop. And it's an eternal seed that you have, that you can carry with you. And it's awesome. It's if it says in the word about the, the armor of God, thank you. The sword there, it's actually the word. It's the Rhema word. So it's not the word in general. It's that specific promise for that specific situation that you face with, that you, you know, can very effectively come and just speak it into that situation. So I want to encourage you, just think, what are the things that you fear, and write it down, and don't go and, you know, have a pity party. Just, I had a fear of lack. Oh my, I had my poor husband. I would just think these things towards Him and just think, oh, you know, He did this and that again. And then every time when I actually became honest with myself, you know, I would start with the Lord at this place thinking this and this of Him. And then I'll do full circle and I'll always end up with me and my misunderstanding of who God is in our relationship. And I'm like, okay, you know, and then I'll have a next thing that I'll think, oh, you know, if He can only do this and this better, you know, then life will just work. And then if I actually am honest about it and bring it to the Lord, every time He'll bring it back to a misconception that I have in my life, or where I'm not trusting Him to be who He says He is in our relationship. Oh my, and I still have some repenting to do. But luckily, I hope they don't have a feed on that side of the room. I'm just joking. Okay, so let's move on. I just love how Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith, It is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him, for whoever would come near to God must believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him. And why was I, my expectation, I started becoming excited about God and his faithfulness, where we can look at this scripture and say, Lord, if I do what you say I must do, come in daily, I can become excited and have an expectation in your faithfulness. The fact that you say, but you meet with me as I come in and I acknowledge who you are, I believe who you are, and I have that expectation for you to move. And I want you to just ask yourself, this is crucial, do you actually believe God is who he says he is? That is, we have to believe that God is who he says he is. And I really trust in this year that just as we enter in, we will grow in that, that we'll understand, that we'll know that we know that we know God is who he says he is, and he is faithful. And for me, going into my garden, it was, as I say, my motivation wasn't necessarily to have this deep revelation of him or anything. It was just, you know, to get away a bit. And yet it was just, he just came and showed me profound things and the basics. And I want to encourage you, every time that you enter in, my prayer is that you'll enter in knowing and believing that God is who he says he is, and that you'll have expectation for his word to just grow and to produce life, and just to release that life that we have in him in your life. Let's move on now. A second thing, how I just entered in, so it was daily, and then just I would enter in with thanksgiving and worship. Okay, and it says in Psalm 100 verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and thank offering, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and say so to him. Bless and affectionately praise his name. And I won't say I was necessarily somebody that had this like whole list of bullet points that I would present to the Lord as I entered in, but I definitely became more aware of entering in just by giving him thanks, just by declaring who he's, you know, just thanking him, the fact that he is faithful. So as you go in daily, just do it, enter in with thanksgiving and praise. And it says he inhabits the praises of his people. So immediately we have that, we can have that expectation, but Lord, you hear with me. Okay. Now, who of you are engineers in the house? Anyone? Anyone who's heard of momentum before? Yes. So if I stand still, do I have momentum? No. If I start walking, is there momentum? And if I start running, does the momentum increase or decrease? Increase, yes. And it's the same. It just showed me it's the same with our relationship with him. We build a momentum as he actually is faithful to start teaching us how to walk in the Spirit, as we just enter in daily and just tell him, Lord, I'm here and I want to walk with you. There's a momentum that builds up. And it's another testimony that I can just give. Enter in when I can. Sometimes I actually find myself just waking up and it's as if I'm already praying and just saying, Lord, here I am, you know, and may this day just, may your, you know, your kingdom come, and may I, you know, may I just be sensitive for whoever you put over my path. And, you know, then I just carry on and get everybody dressed and do the school run and everything, and it's not as if I'm in the zone the whole time. But as I just grow and walk with my relationship with him, I would, for instance, go to Tesco and I would just know, you have to go to Marks and Spencer's, and you have to go and buy this gift for a woman. And I'm like, you know, and you just know this is what you must do. And it's so funny how we are. It's like, oh, wow, this one, are you sure it's not for me? Because I had to buy this, like, beautiful, beautiful leather handbag for a lady. And, you know, you can stop there, and you can become all spiritual now and like, is this really from the Lord, or... shoo, this is a lot of money, you know, my husband is going to crack or whatever. It's like, I just knew I had to do it. And I had a peace in that. I mean, I'll never spend that amount of money. But I just knew. I knew it was from him. And I just had peace that, Johan, you know, obviously he will give him the understanding then. And it was amazing. That evening, I just had friends coming over, and the one sister was visiting. And I just really felt I must give this to her. And I just said something like, it just feels as if the Lord just wants to spoil you, he just wants to show you, but listen, he like delights in you. And she burst out into tears, saying she's been shopping the last 10 days in London, looking at every bag, and she didn't get what she wants, and this is like exactly what she wants. So the Lord knows into the finest little detail, you know, and that's now a example of a, like a gift, but he knows what you need, he knows your heart's cry. And for me, it wasn't even, I didn't walk out and think, ooh, you know, what can I go and do now for someone? I just, because I was walking in relationship with the Lord, I had that sensitivity. And I mean, as I say, I was on my way to buy milk, and then I just felt, no, you actually have to quickly go this and do that. And there's just a, you just do it because you just know this is from the Lord. And it's effortless, I want to say. It's not me like, Lord, you know, what are you saying? What must I do? It becomes effortless in a sense because you just, it's as if we fine-tuning just, you know, what the Lord is saying. And as we declutter, it becomes clearer and it becomes easier just to like, okay, then I think you just have to have that trust. We're like, Lord, your ways are higher than our ways. So I'm going to go with what you actually told me now. I'm not going to worry about whether it's, you know, the cost of it or whatever. I really know that this is what you actually want me to do. Okay. Now, something that the Lord also just told me when I enter in, he said, just move from a begging position to a position of praise. So just ask yourself, when you know what, just have like a prayer session playback to yourself. What do you actually speak to God with if you're speaking to him? You know, and I want to encourage you, just move from that begging position to a position of praise. And it's as if it just like opens you up, like, you know, it just, I don't know, it's refreshing. So I want to encourage you to do that. Now, why do farmers farm? Why do people plant seed? Okay, lots of British people, they're quite big gardeners, so you obviously do it for the fun, and it's actually very enjoy, you know, it's very relaxing and therapeutic. I can, it's a bit stressful if your kids rip out everything, but you also deal with that. It's like, yeah, go for it. But you plant with a specific purpose. You plant because you want to grow something. You know, it's not just, you know, chuck out everything there and let's see what happens. There's, you actually assess the site, the sun, the soil, the amount of water, and then you see, okay, what would be easy, you know, what does the condition suit, you know? So it's actually, you put a lot of thoughts in what you want to grow. But the beauty of it is, once you've now decided, okay, this is what I'm going to grow, you can prepare the soil, you can put the seed in. But then you stand back and you just watch. I don't let the growing happen. You know, I literally can do the physical labor. I can stick the seed in the ground and then I can water it. That's the last thing that I can actually, where I can add value. But God actually makes, he brings forth the growth. And it's the same with, if just be faithful in sowing seeds in your own life and also in people around you's life that you know desperately needs the Lord. Trust for that one word. Plant that word and sow it, just water it, you know, just stand in the gap for them, for instance, and just see how the Lord brings forth growth in that place. Now, what are in my hand? Can all of you see? What am I holding? Batteries, yes. And what's the, so we all can see this is batteries. These are actually triple A's. Usually we're more used to the double A's. But you get various sizes of batteries. They've got various strengths, I want to say. But basically their function is the same. The batteries, you usually have to put them into an appliance to make that thing work. Okay, so they need to empower something. Now, we did this with the kids in Shine, and I just felt I must share this with us this morning, that, okay, if I put the batteries here, what is their function? What does batteries do? What can they do? They can release power, okay? Can they do it while they're lying here? No, they can't. I actually have to look for something where that needs triple A's, and I put them in the right way, okay? And then the torch works or whatever, the light works or the music works. And it feels as if that's lost lots of us where you're very discouraged and you're questioning, but what is my function, you know? Or you don't know, and there's, you've been like, yeah, it's really a burden for you. But it's as if the Lord just told me, but it's because you're lying next to me. You know, you're not in me. And I just want to encourage you, these two are the same, but I mean, you get different brands and everything. Don't look around and be discouraged about the person next to you and how it just seems that things are happening, you know. Each one of us has been fearfully and wonderfully made with a specific purpose. And as we walk with God, we will walk effectively in that calling which He has for each one of us. And often we get discouraged because we are not in Christ. Okay, so our function didn't change, but our positioning makes or breaks us, if I can put it like that. So I want to encourage you, again, bringing you back to just entering in daily, because that is where we just have relationship with our Father. And you will, I know, your purpose will become clearer. The word of the Lord in 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 to 4 says, "For such is good and right and pleasing and acceptable to our God, our Savior, who wishes all men to be saved and to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the truth." And even if you just start there, you know, just about, okay, Lord, your heart is for all men to be saved, and your heart is for us to understand, recognize, discern, and know correctly the truth. That can be your base purpose, if I can put it like that. And from that place of just growing in your understanding of who God is, you know, and His heart, and His heart for the lost, and the fact that He wants us to understand the truth, from that place you will walk effectively in that which He has called you. I truly believe that with all my heart. And that is my prayer for this year, for us, all of us, to walk and to just, as we grow closer to God in our relationship with Him as our dad, that you'll just grow in understanding of that calling which He has placed in you. Okay. Another thing as well, just with the momentum, sit, walk, stand. It's interesting. It starts with sit. It says we must be seated with Christ. And from that place we can stand and we can walk worthy. No, I'm saying it wrong. We sit first with Christ, then we walk, and we walk worthy of our calling, and we walk effectively in our calling. And then it says the standing is actually we can effectively withstand the onslaught of the enemy. Okay, but it's crucial that we start with a sitting. Often we just want to, you just want to go, go, go. And we have to start with a sitting with your dad, just having relationship. And then from that place, you'll see, you'll get up, you'll start walking, and when you're faced with whatever challenges, you will be able to withstand effectively that which comes against you. Because His purposes will, the Lord wants to, He started just releasing in me just a greater understanding. It's as if the supernatural becomes more real than the natural. And I can't explain it to you, but it just works that way. It's as if that which we don't see and what we understand of God, it's as if it becomes a greater reality than that we can actually see. And it's on the eternal that we must focus. It's on the things that we cannot see, because that determines just how we live life. Now, it also feels as if often people are... It's as if there's a fear, but you're going to look like a nutcase, or you're just going to look as if you just, you know, have everything. You know, you're in denial about life if you actually, you know, put your trust in the Lord. You know, you just don't know how it's working. And it's as if the world wants to shout that to us the whole time. You know, just this trusting, you know, I don't know, you're wasting your time or whatever. It's like as if you must, you know, wake up and smell the roses or something. And that is, I tell you, that is not from the Lord. It's truly as if as we grow in our relationship with Him, I truly believe we'll come to that place where the reality of His truth and of His existence will become stronger than the reality of what we are faced with. And for instance, say if I'm ill, it doesn't help. I'm standing here and I'm like, no, you know, I'm not ill. I mean, I'm not denying the fact that I'm sick, but I'm acknowledging the fact that through the stripes of Christ Jesus, we are healed. And the fact that His truth has got authority over my sickness. You know, and it's from there that I come to God. I don't, you know, often, and it challenges us if you trust God for something and then all of a sudden it feels like, but hang on, what's going on here now? You know, it's that really having to focus on God and what He says about something, what He says about healing, to come to that place where you can stand in your situation, not being in denial about the illness that you're experiencing or that you're faced with, but actually standing and knowing, but Lord, I choose to put my trust in Your word, and Your word is superior. And it says, everything is actually going to pass, but the word of the Lord will stand. Okay, so as I said, if you're faced with fears, if you go and search the scripture for the truth that actually counters it and that releases what God has for you, it's the same. If you feel there's something where unbelief has come in, I mean, unbelief, it also works against our faith. You know, just go and search the scripture and search the word and trust the Holy Spirit to bring you to that place where, for instance, healing. I don't know how it works, but I know the Lord is the healer. So, you know, it's often people make these, you know, you make these new doctrines about, no, but healing was for the past or it's for the this. Listen, the Lord says He's the healer, then He's the healer. And whether I understand it or not, that's not really, it's good to have understanding, but we lose our salvation because, you know, it becomes such a thing. You know, He says He's the healer. It's as if you must come to that place where you're like, okay, Lord, I accept that because I understand Your ways are greater than my ways, you know. And in that place, you will grow in your understanding of Him being the healer. But it's, I want to encourage you, don't. It's fine if it doesn't make sense, but come and reason with Him and ask Him to show you His reality with whatever you are faced with. It was beautiful in the garden the one day. Oh, my hat, it was raining again. And the kids were like, let's go and look for worms. And I'm like, no, let's just stay inside. And they're like, no, let's go and look for worms. And I'm like, and they just kept asking me. And I'm like, let's just go and look for worms because they are not going to go away, you know. So we're out with the shovels and usually you don't just dig twice and you get like 7 worms. Listen, I am sweating. I'm like 2 by 1 meters, no worms. And I'm just thinking, I am having a sense of humor failure now. But in any case, and the one of the girls, they just say, Mom, maybe we must ask the Lord. And I'm like, yeah, sure, ask Jesus. Tell Him we want 4 worms. So here they go. They're like, Jesus, we want 4 worms, please. Amen. Man, the next, you know, spadeful, I just hear them shouting, there's worms. So there's 2 worms, and then the other one shouts, he hears us. Listen, and then with the next one I got more, and I must confess, I'm not sure if I, like, you know, made the one to go in half, and that's how we came to 4, but we had our 4 and we went home. And it's amazing. Just I did tell them, this is amazing, praise the Lord, you know. But even though we didn't necessarily see Him come through for us, He is still faithful, you know, and just speak to Him and just ask Him. So I just laughed. I actually repented after that because it was just such a beautiful way. Crazy example. I would have never thought for them to understand just, oh, wow, you know, we can just speak to Him and ask Him whatever we want. And yet something, you know, they clicked something. So remember, the Lord hears us. Just think 4 worms. Okay. Now, when I went in, oh my hat, weeds just flourish. Listen, you'll put the seed there and you will water it and it will be under a cloth. And, you know, you're like, come on, man, I want to see you grow. And there's nothing. And then you come there and the weed is like this high. Weed just flourishes. It doesn't need anything. And then it just grows. It's so, I don't know, as a gardener, it's frustrating. But that just... initially, when I entered in, they would just irritate me if I see them. But then I just realized, you know what? Focus on what you want to grow and just remove the weed as you see them, because they go like this. So often you start being able to discern what is now actually what you want to grow and what is the weed. Immediately move them or just remove them. I don't know what you have in your life, what you're challenged with, what's not from the Lord. The Lord will, I know, last year He convicted me of stuff and said, okay, but I must actually stop reading this or I must stop doing this. You know what He's actually telling you, and I want to encourage you, respond immediately. If you leave it, those things grow without sun, water, or rain, you know. It just goes. And if you leave them, they choke the other plant, they come and they cause havoc. I just want to, really, we must be sober about things. If you know there's stuff in your life that is not from the Lord, I want to encourage you, just remove them as soon as you can, because it's, you know, it works the same. If they left, they're going to flourish, and they're going to actually just, they don't bring life. Okay, and then just lastly, application versus intention. That's one thing that the Lord just, yeah, I became aware of. You know, I can go out and I can buy all the seeds and everything, and I can throw the packs there next to the veggie patch, and I can walk away. Nothing is going to happen. I mean, well, the packets are going to, like, you know, disintegrate if I leave them out in the weather. But nothing is going to grow. I physically have to go and pick a part in the plot where I want to put them, and I must physically go and plant. So I want to encourage you, just, you have to, intentions, you can have the greatest intentions. They are going to lead to nothing. You have to act. You have to specifically do something. So I want you to just, you know, don't run out and find something to do. Just say, Lord, what do you want me to put my hand to? And then go for that. But if we stay with hearers of the word and not doing it, it's going to lead to nothing. Okay. Now, the best is, and my husband will be able to relate with this, even though I love all of the things that I talked about, the entering in, the planting, the doing this, the doing that, what I love the most is sharing in the harvest. Like, I have my flowers that I'm growing is becoming bigger every, you know, less veg, more flowers. But I cannot tell you, it gives me a kick if somebody comes and visits and you can even smell the scent of the flowers and you tell them, you know what, I'm just going to carry on here and prepare our tea or something. You just go through and just go and pick some flowers for yourself. Just go and help yourself. That I love that. I will grow that whole thing just full of flowers so that I can send people there. Because listen, they come there and they look as if they didn't have a good day. And they come back and, I don't know, they're just smiling. And I just, it's as if the Lord said, you know what, this free gift that we have, that we have relationship with the Father, that we can enter in daily, that's great and everything, but it's that thing, that's what we must share with people. And I pray for a wisdom for us, how to share just what he, you know, that which he has for all of us, for anyone who calls onto the name of the Lord. I really want to encourage you, just that is, it's truly better to give than to receive. And I started experiencing that just in the relationship that I have with him. Just, even though it's just through being, like, for instance, another testimony, sometimes I'll be busy with the kids, and then you just have a person on your heart, and you found that person, and they're literally on the verge of doing something really stupid. And then if I didn't respond and actually phone them up and say, listen, how are you, you know, what's going on, who knows what could have happened. And I really want to encourage you, this relationship that we have, it's not just for our own benefit, but it's actually to share. And the world is desperately in need of life, and that life that we only get in Christ. Okay? Now, just to finish off, I know I've got a long breath, but I'm nearly done. As I was just going through this year and just, you know, coming to terms with just my misconceptions and how God just came and just showed me who he is, you know, or, yeah, just as I just walked with him, He write down Genesis 15, chapter 15 to chapter 22. I want to encourage you to go and read that during this week. Genesis 15 to Genesis 22. Now, as I said, my testimony, it's great and everything. It's my experience, and I believe it will encourage you. But at the end of the day, the Lord's word is what changes us. And in Genesis 15, verse 22, that's basically just the encounter with Abram and his life, and yes, his walk with God. And it's incredible. If you start in Genesis 15, verse 1, God starts with, Abram, fear not, I am your shield. So God starts by saying, listen, this is what I have for you, but don't worry, because I am with you. I am giving you this word. And it says in verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he gave, you know, he got his promise. Now, Abram, how did he respond? He inquired. He was like, Lord, but how is this going to work? I'm like a man of old age. We don't have kids, you know. He just came and he reasoned with the Lord. He didn't like, yes, Lord, here I go. And that's fine. You know, just if you feel the Lord gives you that word or instruction, speak to him about it. you know, inquire of him. Because if we, and Sarah actually laughed. And then she's asked, you know, why did you laugh? And she's like, I didn't laugh, you know. And that just showed, like, listen, we're often in denial if we don't have faith for something. But that's also fine. It's just coming to recognize where it, often, for instance, something that's, I don't know if you can relate, but sometimes it's difficult to actually put your faith out for something in your own life. But listen, I can pray for anything for Shelley or for any of you. Just name it. I'll pray for it. But there's this one thing in my own life that I don't even pray for it anymore. And that's where, if you experience that, that's where unbelief has come in. And I just come and trust the Lord just to release your faith again for that thing, because he can, everything is covered in him. Okay, so initially we see Abram was like, Lord, I don't know. And, you know, Sarah was, yes, as I say, she laughed, so she clearly didn't believe a word. And it carries on. And then the beauty of it, I love that bit where the Lord, he actually makes covenant with himself. The promises that he's given us, he sealed it by actually promising, by making covenant and agreement with himself. So it's foolproof. It cannot not come to pass. The one bit where Abram, his job was literally just to chase away the vultures and the birds that want to come and steal that, you know, or want to cause havoc. I mean, it will come to pass, and that's the beauty of it. We must just present ourselves, you know. So he moved from that place, and then further down in the chapters, where God actually, okay, so Abram has his promise that he's going to be heir to many nations and everything, and he's got Isaac, okay, great, so now everything is going according to plan. Then the Lord tells him, Abram, take Isaac now and go and offer him on the mountain. He doesn't say, whoa, 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 Lord, you know, this is my only son. He's like, right, back the donkeys, get the wood, come, Isaac, we're going. He's immediately obedient. And then Isaac is, so they go up the mountain, the altar is packed, the wood is there. He puts his son on the altar. Isaac is still like, Dad, where's the lamb? And Abram says, the Lord is my provider. But up to that point, he was literally standing like this, ready to kill his son. You know, just, that just shows me his understanding of God, of who he is, the fact that he is faithful. And even though I come now and I look as if I'm going to kill that which, that, you know, that is what is enabling this promise of the Lord to come to pass, he was still obedient to do it. Yes, that is my heart's desire, to come to that place this year, to just not waver if I know this is what the Lord tells me, just to say, okay, right, let's do this. And what happens? The Lord tells him, no, wait, wait, wait. And he spares his son, and he looks around, and there's the little thingy, you know, stuck in the bush. So I want to encourage you, go and read these chapters and see how Abram grew in his relationship. And I can't stress it enough. It's often as if we feel bad if we don't understand something or if we question something. Man, that's a lie. Just come and come to that place where you wrestle with God, where you have relationship with him, until you have that understanding. Because it's that conviction, you know, that will, yeah, that will just bless you in your walk with him. Amen. Let's just close our eyes. Father, thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that it's with a freedom that we can enter into your presence. And Lord, I thank you that we can encourage each other through our experiences, through our testimonies, Lord. But ultimately, it's your word, Lord, in our lives that impacts, Lord God, that is that carrier of life. Father, and just over all of us, thank you that I can just speak this word over each one of us, Lord, just saying, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you in this year a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into the mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints. Amen.
Thanks, Lou. We know if God has been speaking to you, don't go home changed. Don't leave those seeds in the packet, the promises of God in the packet, to just, they're not going to spontaneously turn into something else. We have to step forward in the momentum of Christ Jesus, because all his promises for us are yes in Christ Jesus. But it's whether we lay hold of the promises of Christ. It's whether, I was thinking of the Shunammite woman who her son died, and she actually took that promise of Christ, of God, and went and presented it to Elisha and say, I didn't ask for a son, you did. So we have to take authority over the things that God wants to give to us. And I just want to encourage you, if you know God is speaking to you about anything today, don't go home unchanged. Don't go home not being a doer of the word or an applier of the word, because it's for our goodness. He wants to see us change. He wants us to grow in him and bloom in him, not in 6 months' time, but at the start of the year, because he wants us to reap our harvest in our lives. And you'll know the things that he's speaking to you about, the things that we want to respond to. So if there's anyone, don't go home and change, because we would love to pray with you and to just solidify that testimony in your own life as well.